Blog Talk Radio.
And how are you today? And welcome to the Zurian Show. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about a subject that is a little bit of a touchy subject. However, please understand that this subject that we're going to talk about, we mean no disrespect to any particular group, organization, belief, or any of those particular things. We are just trying to share some information and also to give you a different perspective on how to look at it. Now, we may get some callers today on this show because of the fact of the subject line and the matter that we're going to talk about. What we're going to talk about, the title of the show is Heaven Can Wait, However You Can. And I guess just the overall mindset of that particular subject is one that can be very touchy to a lot of people. But we are not really hitting on religion as in whether you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Christian or you're Jewish or you're apostolic or you're Episcopalian or you're Hebrew or Muslim or, you know, you're an atheist, none of the above. Matter of fact, if you're an atheist, you may not even want to listen to the show. Also, if you're an atheist, don't call in because you really don't have anything to add to this show and your beliefs are totally against the whole principle of what the show is about. However, for those of you that do believe in any particular religion, please understand that we do not have any stance on religion as a whole. This particular show is more about if a person does believe in religion, where are they going to fall in the scheme of things? And when I say where are they going to fall in the scheme of things, most people believe that, you know, if you go to church and you abide by the rules, regulations, so forth and so on, you're going to go to heaven if you pay your tithes and things along that nature. Well, the premise of this show covers that, but it also covers more. You know, I'm a strong believer in the fact that if there's a heaven and if you're going to go to heaven, then that should be based on your acts. Not necessarily you're giving money, not necessarily you're saying that you believe or saying that you're a Christian or saying that, you know, knowing that you belong to a particular religious organization, church, synagogue, or what have you, temple. The whole thing is that your acts and actions should be what rate you, what puts you wherever it is that you're going to be. So, again, the show isn't about whether you're going to get in the gate. The show isn't about whether your name is going to be in the book when you go to see St. Peter or whoever it is that's going to be standing there at the gates of heaven when you get there and, how did they say, put in your hall pass to get in. And the show basically came from a recent service that I went to. I recently went to a funeral, and the funeral was for what I believe was a phenomenal woman. And this young lady, lived, as they say, 55. The lady lived to be 105 years old. I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to offend the family or anything like that. But again, there's really nothing to offend the family with because, again, this seems like a very amazing, wonderful, knowledgeable, loving, and purposeful person. And this particular person, you know, I just happen to know the family, and, you know, I know the grandsons and the wives and some of the children, and, you know, we've spent quite a bit of time together in the last few years, but unfortunately, I never really got the pleasure to meet their grandmother. I've met their mother, but I never got to meet their grandmother. But anyway, their grandmother seems to have been a very fascinating person. You know, I read the bio, and the lady's bio is even interesting, you know, and some of the jobs that she's held, some of the positions that she's, you know, worked in. And just, again, the fact that the church had so many people there and the fact that everyone was able to tell individual stories. Of course, there wasn't enough time for everyone to speak. We would have been there probably for 3 days. But, you know, the fact that everyone was able to speak and they could, they all had a connection, which is something that, you know, a lot of people that even go to churches on a regular basis or religious organizations on a regular basis don't really have that type of connection, that type of bond, that type of unity, that type of magnetism that draws people to where they have to speak, to where they have to step up, to where they have to share, you know, the joy and the knowledge and the belief and the, you know, the strong convictions that they have about a person in such a positive way. So again, the gist of us doing the show is basically based off of that because it made me think. As the pastor, that was the primary pastor that was residing over this over the service, he made a couple of comments, and those comments were very, again, interesting to me. And they were interesting to me because of the fact that he said that death is your pass key. It activates your card so that you can get into a better place, so that you can get into heaven. So it was like death is really, when death happens, like a credit card, you know, when you get a new credit card, you have to activate that credit card. So what do you have to do? You have to call in and activate that new credit card number. And what this particular pastor was saying was, he was saying that what death does is death activates your card so that if you meet the requirements, basically, you can get into heaven. And I thought that that was a very interesting analogy of it. I'm sure it's been said before by others, but the overall analogy was interesting. So again, the show isn't really about whether you're going to go to heaven or not go to heaven. You know, that's not my choice. It's not my call. I don't know what you do in the light or the dark. However, my question, which was also a question that I posed to a young lady that works in my office, and that's also older than me and very religious, was, is that when you get to heaven, if everybody in the world, everybody here is here for a reason, everybody here is here for a purpose. However, God or the powers to be gave us something called choice, or Allah, if you like to call him Allah. Anyway, God gave us all a choice. That and there's multiple choices in everyone's life. You know, there's multiple directions that you can choose. There's multiple paths that you can go down as you go through the experience that we here on Earth call life and living. And my question was, and my comment was, if you, let's say you were put on this Earth to cure cancer, however, you never did any of that. You know, you didn't do bad things, but you didn't do anything to truly live up to the expectations or to your true potential, which I believe that most of us don't live up to our true potential. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of Mother Teresa's out there, you know, or Gandhi's or, you know, Martin Luther King's. And trust me, all of these people have shortfalls. You know, all of these people have issues. All of these people have, you know, things that, you know, are not perfect about them. You know, I was talking to one gentleman that I had the opportunity to meet, and he was explaining to me how, you know, he got to meet Mother Teresa, and he was saying that this woman was just so confident, even though she was a much older lady, she was so confident, and she oozed an aura that was just so amazing, you know, and he said you could feel it in the room. It was palpable. I know I was listening to another another story where they were talking about how, I believe it was John Maxwell, who was a motivational speaker. He was talking about the fact that one day President Clinton, his wife, and the vice president, his wife, were at an event where Mother Teresa was. And they said that Mother Teresa got up on the stand and started talking. And then she started talking about things that were basically political hot points. And that in the end of Mother Teresa's talk, there was basically no one in the room that she had not insulted or offended. However, because it was Mother Teresa, and because of her history, and because of her guile, and because of her determination, and her ability to move people and to express a open and unconditional love for every and anybody, you know, she still got a standing ovation, even though she was basically, she told it like it was, according to Mother Teresa. And in her mind, and this is my belief, this isn't a quote, but in her mind, Mother Teresa was doing the work of God. So since Mother Teresa was doing the work of God, she feared no politician. She feared no repercussions. She feared no one in that room, because in Mother Teresa's mind, her soul was right with God. You know, her soul was right, and she was going where she needed to go, and she was going to do the mission that she believed that she was put here for. Well, I guess my question to a lot of people that are religious is, are you doing your mission? Are you living to the potential in which you were meant to live to? And based on that, is that going to dictate where you're going to fall, where you're going to land when you get to heaven, when you actually get to the gates, and you, with, of course, death, which is something that is going to befall us all. You can't get away from it. You can't run from it. You can't shorten it. It's coming. Your time is preordained. Of course, again, that also has to do with choices. But the question is, for me, is when you get to heaven, are you going to be a street sweeper? Are you going to be treated like royalty? I mean, just the fact that you go to heaven is a gift. That's your overall reward. But my question is, everybody looks at heaven as the ultimate reward, where they're going to be able to live in the life of luxury, where they're going to be able to be with their particular savior or their particular entity or deity, and that everything is going to be beautiful and everything is going to be perfect. And that's fine. That's part of the promise. But my question is, what is the promise? You know what I mean? I mean, the promise is clear, but it's not clear. And it's also clear that you're supposed to do certain things to get there, and to rate it, and to believe, and to go by faith, and all of those things. And I'm not questioning, again, anybody's faith. But what I am saying is that based on your actions here on earth, I'm not talking about God and the angels' decisions when you get to heaven. I'm talking about based on what you're doing today, where are you going to land when you get there? Again, you know, like let's say you're a clerk, all right? You're a clerk here on earth, and you do the minimal. You just make it. You know, maybe it's a little more than a minimal, but you do just enough to get yourself in heaven. Are you then going to become a clerk in heaven? You know, let's say you're a street sweeper, all right? And as a street sweeper or a janitor, you know, you do everything under the sun to help your fellow man, to make the world a better place, to bring the youth up, to help the elderly. You also go to your particular religious organization, and you do everything in your power to honor and respect, you know, the powers above. So when you get to heaven, are you going to be a prince amongst princes? You know, it's just really interesting when you look at the dynamics of it, because you have a lot of people that go to church or go to their religious places, but yet everything about them is negative. The only thing that's positive about them is that they go to this particular center, is that they go to this particular place, and that they, you know, they talk a good game. You know, they live a certain life, and that life isn't bad. You know, they may live in a really nice house. They may have a nice, prestigious job here. They may have, in some cases, people use the church as a way of not really contributing to others, but contributing to themselves. So basically, them going to church is a business deal, not necessarily a religious entity in which is going to help them to grow and develop, but it's something that is more of a tool, like a networking tool, because they want to be dealing with or in a certain clique. But again, my question is, based on your actions and based on your beliefs, and mostly your actions and your beliefs, where are you going to end up in the scheme of things? So when it's time to go to heaven, again, not doubting that you're going to get in, are you going to go from being a president of a multi-billion dollar company here on earth to becoming, again, a janitor in heaven? You know, are you going to go from being, again, a lowly clerk or, you know, the guy that cleans out sewers on earth, you know, to where you become, you know, the most trusted angel or spirit in heaven amongst the true masters of the universe, so to speak. You know, and it's just really an interesting concept because most of us only do the minimum. We only do the minimum in everything that we do, and very few of us do the maximum. And if we do the maximum, if we do, you know, do things that are considered to be more positive, we do the maximum at the negative, and we do the positive at the minimum. And that's just really an interesting way to go. You know, I live in the Northern Virginia area, and there's a religious group that's here. And again, I'm not knocking their game, but it's just interesting because right now they're in the process of building a mega church. And I noticed something, you know, going from the New York area to going to the Virginia area, is that as I go south, it seems like there's more and more churches, more and more synagogues, more and more temples, more and more buildings in the honor of a particular faith, but yet we seem to keep having more and more problems as a people. We keep having more and more crime. We keep having more and more robbings, more and more shootings. You know, the rates of adultery, the rates of all these other entities, the misery and aggravations that people seem to suffer don't seem to be going down, and I don't understand that. But again, I guess that's for another show. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, there was somebody that once said that we all need to have an attitude of gratitude. We all need to be thankful for everything that we are able to do, and we should wake up with a smile and go to sleep with a smile, knowing that tomorrow we get a chance to wake up with a smile yet again, and that we should be doing things to not only help ourselves but to help our fellow men and women, and that we also should keep in mind that these actions we will be paid for. You know, I had a lady recently tell me, well, Mr. Bennett, I'm not really concerned about, you know, my rewards on earth. I'm more concerned about my rewards in heaven. So I said to her, okay, that's fine. That's a beautiful thing. I said, but what exactly are you doing here on earth to earn your rewards in heaven? I said, you know, to this young lady who just happens to do administrative work, you know, at the lower level, considering the way that the, you know, the world looks at it, I said to her, I said, well, what if you were meant to be the president or CEO of a company or an organization that was basically based on doing great and fantastic things for the elderly, for the youth, for the health sciences? I said, you know, ma'am, everybody has a gift, and most people don't share that gift. So I asked her, is that a sin that you're not sharing that gift? Is that a sin that you're not in the position? Well, you know, the lady was telling me, well, Mr. Bennett, you need to understand that money is the root of all evil. I said, no. I said, I've read the Bible, I've read the Hadith, I've read the Quran, and I've read the Torah. I said, and in none of them does it say that money is the root of all evil. What it says is that the love of money is evil. Do you love money? Do you love those green pieces of paper or those shiny pieces of silver or gold? If that's not the case, then I guess you don't have a love of money. Most of us don't necessarily love money. We like what we can get with money. So the love of money is what we can turn that tangible item that we've given a value and made it something that can be exchanged for goods or services. But my point to her again is, what if you're not living up to your part? Again, we all have many roads that we can take. We all have many turns that we can go down. We all have many choices that are afforded to us. However, if every day you wake up miserable, if every day you're complaining and grinding and whining and all of that other things, But yet you go to church on a regular basis and you say, oh, God, I love you, and oh, God, this, and oh, Jesus is my Savior. My question is, are you really honoring God? And then, I mean, I would not want that lecture. You know, I would not want to get up to the next level and find out that, let's say, not 90% of what I said was wrong, but let's say 65. You know, for somebody to say that, listen, this was, these are, let's look at it this way. Let's say you get there, and when you get there, they set you in a room. They let you know that you're in, you're good, you're in, you know, so you ain't got to worry about going to that other place. It's not going to be real hot for you. However, you get upstairs, and now you're thankful that you got there, and they set you in a room, and they tell you, okay, you have to sit for the next, I don't know, for the next, I don't know, 5 hours. You have to go through a mini review of your life. And part of the lesson here is that you not only have to go through a mini review of your life, you also have to watch basically all of the choices that you didn't make. And when I say all of the choices, I mean all of the choices as in all of the paths that you could have taken, but you, for whatever reason, chose not to. Now, as you look at those choices, you find out that you could have been a king of industry. You find out that you could have been the person that cured cancer. You could have been the person that cured, you know, AIDS, or you could have been the person that, you know, saved a life. Or if you had just gone down this road, you could have saved a young man. If you had have paid attention to the person sitting next to you, they may not have killed themselves. If you hadn't have made the comments that you made, this person may have had a different fate that might have been better. In the sense of this, how many people could you have made, have helped to get to the same reward, as in the ultimate reward is in going to heaven, but you could have helped to achieve the same reward that you are achieving now, but because of some of the choices, and I'm sure that there's hundreds and thousands of choices that you've made, you have hundreds and thousands of people who, in a weird kind of way, you're responsible, or you have some responsibility for their fate. And their fate isn't the fate that you're dealing with. I mean, how do you... Not only how do you still get into heaven and how do you get a certain position, but how do you live with yourself, because you're now going to live forever. Your soul is going to be in heaven for all eternity, and you're going to get to think about this stuff forever. How do you look yourself in the face, and how do you deal with the fact that your action or inaction, knowing what you should have done, you fail to do that? I mean, that's a pretty deep and responsible thing, and I think that that's something that would probably happen. I know if I was up there, that's what I would do, because you're going to get people that will get into heaven, I'm sure, and they believe that because they got into heaven that they're special, and they are special, because in order to get into heaven, you have to be forgiven. But remember, God forgives us for all our sins, no matter how many we have done, as long as we repent and we believe. However, for eternity, you need to live with the fact that you did the minimal. You need to live with the fact that that lofty position that you believed you deserved, or that lofty position that you had, is nothing based on what you're going to spend eternity doing. I mean, it definitely puts a different spin on it. And again, I'm not saying don't do good works. I'm not saying don't contribute. I'm not saying don't be part of the solution and not part of the problem. My question to you is, how much of a solution are you truly being? How much of a non-problem are you not being? What are you really contributing, and are you contributing anywhere near what you could be? Is your reason for doing it about you, or is it about the people that you can help? You know, Jesus had, what, 12 disciples. And I've noticed now in business, a lot of businesses are starting to use that as part of their thing when they talk about, you know, building your team and building your power team and your team on how to do different things. Well, most of us are loners. Most of us sit next to somebody 8 hours a day that we don't know. We work with people 8 hours a day that we don't really care about. And we listen to people tell us stories that we're really not concerned about. Most of us are so pissed off that we don't even recognize the people that truly care for us or love us. And we don't give them time. And we don't give them anything. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where we are overstressed, underpaid, and have little time. We trade money for time. Time, which is the most precious thing that we have on earth. So my question is, in this trade that you're doing, now there's something even more valuable than the time, and it's your eternal soul. And if we're going to look at it that way, what are you giving in return for what you're going to get? You know, there was a saying that it's not all about me. It's about everybody else. And by helping the many, you will definitely live a charmed and beautiful life. Well, again, my question is, heaven can wait. It will wait. It'll be there millennia from now and millennia from now, but you can't. So, ladies and gentlemen, my whole thing is that we all need to step up to the table and we all need to do more and understand that when you think you've done enough, you're probably not even close. In the martial arts, we say that the first step begins with the first 1,000 punches, and then the first 1,000 punches lead to the first 10,000, then the 10,000 leads to the next 100,000, and then the 100,000 leads to millions. And from that million of times that you've done a particular thing, each and every time you learn something. However, we have people that are afraid to try. We have people that are afraid to step out of their comfort zone. We have people that won't step out of their state. We have people that think they can't go to another religious organization or learn another faith because they think it's going to taint the faith that they believe in. Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't have a problem with them, but the fact that you can't go into another person's church, what kind of craziness is that? And again, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I really don't care whether you agree or not. I'm sharing what I want to share, and I'm sharing it because I believe that it's something that needs to be heard and it's something that needs to be expressed. But it's just really fascinating to me how much of humanity we throw into something that only has a little bit to do with humanity, you know, and how a lot of us misunderstand even that word, humanity. You know, I mean, if you look at humanity and you look at some of the actions and things that we do to each other as a people, it's an atrocity. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we have examples of people that have done amazing and wonderful things. Please understand that you, too, are capable of amazing and wonderful things. And even if you do an amazing thing, you're still probably only living a sad shadow of the true and amazing things that you could do. You're only being a sad shadow of the person that you could be. Remember that there are hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of people that have died so that you can live. And also understand that, yes, when they died, that activated their key to go to wherever it is that they were going. But my question again back to you is, where are you going? What actions have you taken to secure a lofty position, a very lofty place? What things have you done to make the world better? What things have you done to make everybody that you meet love you for you? How many false starts have you taken, and how many fake pieces of makeup have you put on your face trying to hide the inner you? Be yourself. Live a life that other people look at as an example, like the young lady that lived to be 105. You know, again, I didn't know her. I could see she lived a remarkable life. Only God can turn a mess into a message. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm being a messenger right now. You may not appreciate what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean it's not true. That also doesn't mean it's not valid. What that does mean is that maybe you ought to take the time and listen. Be brave and be humble, and you'll be victorious as you move forward into your life. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show, and as always, I want to thank everybody for listening because it's always beautiful to talk to you. The test is in the testimony, the trial is in the triumph, and the victim is the person that becomes the victor, or if he has faith in what he believes. Thank you very much, Blog Talk, and thank you for listening. Please share the show with anybody that you think will enjoy it, and if you have, I definitely welcome them. Why do I welcome them? Because I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and you're going to make me better. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great and wonderful day. With that, this is Zurian. Take care.